Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. Today we arrive at the end of our three-part series, Science and Spiritual Living, where we've been taking a look at various spiritual practices from both the spiritual and the scientific perspective. We started 2 weeks ago with perhaps the easiest, gratitude. Last week we looked at forgiveness, maybe a little harder. And this week we're looking at mindfulness or meditation and prayer. Not that prayer is difficult for us around here, but in general, a lot of people dispute whether it does any good. In fact, last night I was at a prayer vigil, and there is some local television news there, and they asked us pastors, basically, really prayer? That's your answer to what's going on in the world? He didn't say it quite like that, but that was what you could tell was behind the question. And of course, all of us there were like, yeah, prayer. It's been around probably since a few days after the dawn of humanity. It works. So that's why we're looking at it today. But let's start with mindfulness. Mindfulness is simply being aware of the present moment. Our bodily sensations, our environment, our thoughts, and doing this in a way that is without judgment, not needing to fix anything, not trying to control or suppress what comes up, simply being aware. Mindfulness falls under the larger umbrella of meditation. There's a lot of confusion about meditation. It is not completely shutting down the human mind. Can't happen. The mind is designed to do its thing. It's going to do its thing. So what meditation does in general, I can't get into all that meditation is today. If you want to know more about meditation, join our meditation service on Wednesday at 7. But in general, meditation is about being still, giving the mind something to occupy it so we can be still. Be still and know. Be still and listen. Be still and practice the presence. Joe Goldsmith, a great teacher on meditation, wrote, "Meditation as an invitation for God to speak to us and to make itself known to us. It is not an attempt to reach God, since God is omnipresent. The presence already is. The presence always is. We are not seeking to reach God, but rather to achieve such a state of stillness that the awareness of God's presence permeates us." You might not believe it, but it is true that anybody with a dedicated meditation practice can achieve at least a little moment here and there of feeling that presence. And next, prayer. What we mean around here when we say prayer is affirmative prayer, or what is also called spiritual mind treatment. It has five steps. They are, in a nutshell, step one, recognize the one divine life. Step two, remember we are one with it. Step three, claim and know our good is already present right here, right now. Step four, give thanks. Step five, release, let go, and let God. Those are the basic five steps that we recommend. And this is based on our understanding of God and our relationship with it. We have an understanding of God, that God is both immanent and transcendent. God is not something separate from us that is out there somewhere, but that God is immanent in its creation, meaning all of creation, even the parts of it we are not aware of or have yet to discover, are the body of God. And God is more than that. God is transcendent. God is more than we can know or will probably ever know. It's more than its creation. It is what quantum physics calls that infinite field of potentiality, what our Hindu friends call that unformed substance. That transcendent aspect of God is that part that is everything that could ever be, and that we can work with and call into our experience. So when we pray, we're not praying to God saying, please do something on my behalf, I'll make you a great deal, God. That's not what we're doing. When we pray, we're about knowing our oneness with that divine, and that those divine qualities of beauty and love and joy and strength and wholeness and prosperity, that is the essence of our being. Because God is immanent and all of creation is at least one aspect of God, that means we are part and particle of it. We are not separated from it. So all those divine qualities are our divine birthrights as well. So what are we doing when we pray if we're not begging God for some favor? We're working with our consciousness. Our consciousness, the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. We hear a lot around here, change your thinking, change your life. More accurately, it's change your consciousness, change your life. And if we really wanted to drill down, is change your beliefs, change your life. For it is done unto us as we believe. So when we pray, we're working in our own consciousness. This is related to meditation. Those first two steps of prayer, recognizing the one life and remembering we are one with it, meditation helps with this. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote about meditation. It is the recognition of the spirit within, the certainty of our oneness with the whole. The immediate availability of the power and wisdom resulting from this oneness. Such communion with God brings harmony into our lives and affairs. So what does this all have to do with science? First and foremost, this concept of God is in complete compatibility with what scientists tell us about the universe. The Big Bang, the expansion of the universe, the fact that the expansion of the universe is accelerating, dark energy, dark matter, this concept of God is immanent and transcendent violates none of that. In fact, we would say that all of that, this expansion and this constant creation that is taking place in the universe, well, of course, that is God expressing itself in, through, and as its creation, and it's never done expressing itself. The second way this relates to science is spirituality actually has an answer for one of the biggest mysteries that science has yet to solve. And if you're a philosopher, you probably know where this is going. How in the world does non-conscious physical matter, meaning our human brain, give rise to consciousness? So how does consciousness come from something that's not conscious? Despite tons of research, scientists have not answered where in the brain human consciousness arises. Spirituality has an answer. God is immanent and transcendent. God is intelligent. Life is intelligent. It has a mind. It has a consciousness. It is everywhere. There's no spot where God is not. Therefore, there's no spot where consciousness is not. Consciousness is. We participate in it. We are part and particle of that. Dr. Eben Alexander, a neuroscientist and a neurosurgeon, years ago had an incredible near-death experience. He was in a coma, and during that coma, the neocortex of his brain was not functional. It was basically flatlined, you might say. Now, this is important because these scientists who insist that consciousness arises in the brain, they believe it must do so in the neocortex because that's the most evolved part of our brain. But Dr. Alexander, his neocortex, no activity. And yet, he had awareness. He had self-awareness. He had a self-identity. He was aware that he had a life here. And at the same time, he was aware of that transcendent aspect, that next realm. In other words, he was fully aware of both sides of the veil and his place in it at the same time. When he came back from that experience, he was 100% convinced mind or consciousness does not arise in the brain. There is one mind, one consciousness, and we participate in it. This does not dispute science. It actually answers something that science has not been able to answer. And now, what does prayer have to do with science? Well, some people, perhaps some of the people who questioned the wisdom of having a prayer vigil last night, would say, prayer doesn't work. There's no proof that God exists, so who are y'all praying to? It's useless. Or they'll say, what about unanswered prayer? That's proof that prayer doesn't work. Well, our answer to that is prayer always works at the level of our consciousness, at the level of our belief systems. So if we are praying for something that we have not fully manifested yet, it just means we have a little more work to do. We can get there. And when we pray, we're working within that one mind, that one consciousness. This one mind, this one consciousness that contains all that infinite potentiality, when we pray, that's what we're tapping into, which is how and why we can bring into our lives that which isn't yet here but can be. None of this violates the laws of science. It simply takes us further. So what about the effects of meditation and prayer? Our spiritual teachers tell us that meditation, yes, connects us with the divine, but also gives us increased self-awareness, an increased ability to focus and be productive. We tap into that inner guidance, that intuition that can guide our lives. The Dalai Lama says that when he has a particularly busy day, he must meditate twice as long because he needs to focus and he needs to be productive. Our teachers also tell us that a consistent meditation practice can bring us more peace and calm. Dr. Alexander again, the false suspicion that we can somehow be separated from God is the root of every form of anxiety in the universe. And the cure for it is the knowledge that nothing can tear us from God, ever. That'll bring you some peace, knowing that. Now, all the scientific inquiries into meditation support all of those teachings that the spiritual masters tell us about, that it's good for our mental health and our physical health, and they add to that that we have improved cognitive function, creativity, and memory. Sounds like increased productivity. But what I find most amazing about the scientific research into consistent meditation practice is the effects on the actual physical structure of the brain and the brain activity. Those who have a dedicated meditation practice have more gray matter in areas of the brain linked with learning, memory, and emotional regulation, and actually less gray matter or less brain dedicated to fear and stress. And when it comes to those mystical experiences, the dissolving of the self in a complete feeling of oneness with everything, that can actually change the activity in our brain. Studies show that those who have had mystical experiences, it's associated with decreased activity in the region of the brain that places us in space and time. And increased activity in the region of the brain that just makes you feel good. So yeah, science supports everything these meditation gurus and teachers have been saying throughout the ages, and they add to it. But now what about prayer? That's the real thing, isn't it? Remember, for prayer, we're talking about up-leveling our consciousness, changing our beliefs to change our life. There is tons of scientific research that shows our belief systems affect our well-being. If you have positive belief systems, optimistic belief systems, you will be mentally and physically healthier. And it works the other way. If you have negative belief systems, this will degrade our health. And science also shows it's possible to change your brain, your belief systems, but it takes time, which is why we teach spiritual practices and spiritual living, because it takes time. So science is coming around to what our teachers have taught us throughout the ages. Faith matters. Meditation and prayer matters, because it is done unto us as we believe. We conclude this series where we started 2 weeks ago with the opening lines of The Science of Mind, written by Ernest Holmes. We all look forward to the day when science and religion shall walk hand in hand through the visible to the invisible. Revelation must keep faith with reason and religion with law, and science must justify faith in the invisible. That day is getting closer and closer, for both science and spirituality are seeking the same truth. And there is only one, and so it is. I'll admit today's talk let me geek out on science and religion. Let's pray. I invite our practitioners to stand with me and hold this prayer in their consciousness. In the spirit of last night's prayer vigil, for the sake of our city, our state, and our nation, this prayer is for all of us within that. There is one life, one power and presence that has no name, yet goes by so many names. And whether we call it God or Yahweh, Allah, Brahman, the Great Spirit, the thing itself, it is that one power and presence that chose to create from itself as itself, that chose to express its love, its justice, its wisdom, its strength, its joy, its creativity, its prosperity. And I know that every human that ever has been, is now, or ever will be, is part and particle of it. That we are each an individualized expression of this one life. And being that, that means we are each its love in action in the world. And because I know this, and because I know this power is all power, I know it has more than enough power to move each and every person within the sound of my voice and beyond to so many millions more to be its love in the world, to take a stand for justice, to take a stand for peace, to take a stand for equity, to take a stand for prosperity and safety for all our one human family. For every single human being is made in the image and likeness of the One. That means those who are without housing, those who are hungry. That means those who come to our country from other places looking for a safe life. That means all of those who pray regardless of their faith tradition. That means every person who has decided to take a stand. And that means everyone who has forgotten who and whose they are. We include everyone in this prayer of peace and prosperity and beauty and justice. We leave no one out. And I know that this one love so moves those who choose to be a conduit for it, that each person within the sound of my voice knows what is theirs to do, and that that one power and presence gives them the strength to do just that. And I know as more and more people, more and more of our one human family stands up and says, enough with the vitriol, enough with the violence, enough with the division, enough with the disrespect, and takes a stand, that glory of the One shall be manifest more and more and more. Because it is not destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. For it is the very essence of the universe. We cover it up. We block it. We deny it. We resist it. But it is there, and I declare that we make it so. In the streets of Portland, and in this state of Oregon, and in our nation, and in the world. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that this one love chooses to act through its creation so we can feel what it's like to be more and more of it. To know more and more what it feels like to be in one human family of immense diversity and beauty. What it feels like to walk a world where every person's dignity and divinity is respected. This I give great thanks for. Thank you, life. Thank you, spirit, for using us. I let this go. I let this be. And as I do so, I hear that one loving presence saying, thank you, my children. And so it is. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.